Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
Target, USA. Russia
could render huge harm to this country.
North Korea's secret missile.
Capable of reaching the whole of the United States.
Dangerous terrorist.
D.C. is someplace they would like to seek an attack.
Interviews with top intelligence and national security officials. We've got you covered on Target USA.
The National Security Podcast.
Download it every Thursday. And don't forget to subscribe at PodcastOne.com, the new Podcast One app, and at Apple Podcast.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. The best hour in the universe, man. It's Reasonable Doubt.
I am so happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you here, Mark.
I'm so happy to be here. By the way, when does this – will this hit the Saturday after Thanksgiving?
Yes. So now, what do you got going for Thanksgiving?
What I do every year, the Armenia Fun Telethon. Which I stand there for 12 hours and I shill for people to – I shame Armos into sending money. So that
those people are not afraid to send mail, by the way.
Right?
I'm on their list.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a relentless, vigorous community.
Yes, we are very vigorous. Speaking of which, we haven't talked about what's going on with your warehouse. Have we instituted anything yet?
The Armo guy was not able to talk the other Armo guy out of the warehouse.
Really?
No.
That's shocking to me.
This guy is one of those guys. And it's hard to, you know, I can't find, you know, in a weird way, real estate out in these neck of the woods as Disney starts encroaching right. And the biggest IKEA in the world is up the street and the Home Depot and all the CarMax. Everything's getting built up around. It's sort of like when people say to me, I want $400,000 for this Paul Newman race car. I say it's not worth $400,000 today, but I can't tell you it's not worth $400,000 because it will be worth $1 million
right.
In 7 years. It's just not that right now, you know. And this guy, he put his warehouse up for sale about 6 years ago, and he wanted like $850,000 or $900,000, and everyone went, oh, well, that's too much. And he went, all right, well, then I won't sell it. And now he gets an offer for 1.85, and he's still not selling. But good luck explaining to him why he's insane. You know what I mean? Because then you'll come back to him in 4 years, and you'll offer him 2.3, and he won't take it. But you'll explain to him he's insane. But I don't know. Is he insane? He keeps getting... He was insane at $900,000, and now he's 185, and he's still insane, but he's got an offer. I don't know. You got to. People have to. People are also weird. You explain this to me, Mark Garagus. I've had three people reach out to me about buying their Datsun race cars of yore, and then all three of them have basically decided, no, now's not the right time to sell. Which is perfectly fine with me. Just don't reach out to me, then, would you please?
Did they do this before or after the Paul Newman watch went for $17 million?
It was after the Paul Newman watch.
Because
so maybe...
between the Paul Newman watch and then what was the painting that just went off for? There's a painting that just went for $450 million.
Yeah, let me look up the
And I think it was a Rembrandt.
I want to say Rembrandt, too. But either way... That world is getting insane. And you tell me if this is something.
It was a Da Vinci.
Da Vinci. You tell me, Mark Garagus, what's going on. And I think this is what's going on. In the past, the kajillionaire guys, you know, they owned railroads. They built railroads. They were oil tycoons. They built. Henry Ford, you know, they're industrialists.
Right.
They're industrialists. Now guys are rich in its tech stuff.
Right.
And it's like kind of invisible.
Yeah. Well, they create unicorns, as they call them, which are billion-dollar companies basically from zero to start to finish 0 to 60.
Right. So now you're 31 years old. You've made a kajillion dollars, but it's not because of all the steel you've laid to connect the West Coast with the East Coast and driven the Golden Spike or done any of this stuff. It's just something invisible.
Right.
You came up with an app so gay guys could hook up, and now you're rich. And so now money is kind of different to you than it was to Henry Ford.
Yeah, because Henry Ford was incremental.
Henry Ford struggled. He couldn't get funding. He came up with like a quadricycle. Nobody was interested in it. He went and had to actually do a race and race his car. And I had a funny moment that you'd appreciate, Mark Garagos. I was at SEMA, the big car event, and 3 weeks ago, and I was walking past the Ford booth was, 2 football fields long.
Right.
And they had the hot, dizzy model who, just front-loaded some trivia about the Henry Ford. And she was up there, and there was a whole crowd of Ford fanatics. And she said, I got a free Ford GT hat for anyone who can tell me the name of Henry Ford's first race car. And I was just walking past on my way to the Optima battery booth, and it was silent. The crowd was silent. And she said, anybody? Anyone know Ford's first race car? And I just stopped and I went, sweepstakes. And she went, oh, yes, that's right. And she gave me a hat. And I did a cool power move, which is I put it on another dude's head as I was walking.
Oh,
I never broke stride.
Right.
I put it right on his head. And I kept going to the booth. But from doing my documentary, I remember doing that. Ford and Carnegie and these guys, they had to smelt steel and stuff. Like, they had to lay track and pipe and build, and do this. And so I think money to them wasn't invisible. It was cash.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Have you noticed that when you have cash in your hand, it's always a little bit tougher to spend than when you're doing your Apple Pay.
Right.
Or
Bitcoin.
On your phone, your Bitcoin. Yeah, Bitcoin. Now, I realize that this probably is not a popular thing to say, but if somebody needs to explain to me why this isn't a redux of the tulip boom in, where was it?
Amsterdam
or Denmark.
Holland.
Or Holland. Holland. I think it was Holland. Why isn't this all over again with Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency?
I don't know. I know that we are not doing our young people. We're doing them a disservice. My daughter, Natalia, she came in the other day and she said, I want an iPhone X. And Mama said, that's $1,000. And
plus. Mine was $1,500 after tax and insurance.
$1,500?
After tax and insurance, I got the biggest storage, but the insurance is $200 and the thing's all glass, so you got to get it. After tax, $1,500. It's ridiculous.
How much extra is the biggest storage?
150, I believe.
So it's still, you're not getting out of there for under $1,350. All right. So anyway, she announced she wanted an iPhone X. And I just said, no, or who cares? I go talk to your mom or whatever. And then she said, all right, well, now I want it for Christmas. I said, no, you don't need that for Christmas. No, I want it for my birthday. And then she came into the room and she said, hey, Dad, I got a deal. And I said, what's the deal? I found the iPhone X, $33. You get the phone. I said, no. And she said, yeah, that's what the deal is. I found it online. I said, no, it's $1,000 phone. It's not $33. She said, you pay $33 for 1 month, you get the phone. I said, let me see that. It's $33 for 36 months.
Exactly.
You'll be paying for this phone. You'll be out of high school. You'll be pregnant. You'll be working in a methadone clinic. You'll still be paying this phone off? This is insane. No, you don't even know where you'll be. And by the way, this phone's not going to be worth anything in 3 years from now.
Are you kidding
me?
They know how to reinvent it in a year. That's part of the Apple method.
In her mind, she was just going to punch accept and the invisible money would go to the invisible place with it. So is it easier? So a couple things, Henry Ford and Carnegie and all these guys, they had a big bank vault in the back filled with gold bullion and cash on the barrel head and everything else. Now you're just Zuckerberg and you got $80 billion and you doesn't feel like anything.
Right.
I think you got to buy a $400 million painting in order just to like a girl will cut on her inner thigh just so she can like feel something because daddy ignored her. You know what I mean? Like he needs to feel something, and maybe there's going to be more of this because I don't think Ford could have had enough cash to buy Da Vinci, but he wouldn't have done it.
No,
he would have thought, oh, you know how many trucks I can buy with that, or I can open a new factory. Right, exactly. He wouldn't have done. Now there's a bunch of guys in the Middle East, a bunch of guys in China, and a bunch of Silicon Valley guys that go, screw it, $18 million for a watch? Why not? What do I care?
It must be because now I saw somewhere where they valued the Chinese technology company as bigger or as more valuable than I think Google as well. And it's the same thing. There is the amount of liquidity or cash in the system is overwhelming. When I say cash, I mean paper money or paper profits, so to speak. I mean, there is some of the bankers I talk to say the same thing, that they're seeing the amount of liquidity just in the system is like nothing that they can remember in the last generation.
So let's get caught up with you. We got Kaepernick. We got the case going on in Phoenix in Arizona.
Arizona, exactly.
And let's catch us up.
Okay. So Arizona, that case is still going on. They brought in kind of an interesting twist. They had one of the officers testify, did you feel that there was an imminent threat? And he said no. Obviously not the guy who shot and killed Daniel. So he then apparently reads about his testimony in the paper, and he has a lawyer go in to make a motion that he wanted to reopen his testimony because the way it's being reported is not the way he intended it.
I saw that. Yeah. I saw that tweet I think he sent out or at least the article somewhere. So what does that mean?
Well, I have no idea because I think they withdrew it when they realized how ridiculous it was. I can't think of a case that I've heard of where somebody said, I read about my testimony in the paper. Now I want to change it because I don't like the way my testimony is being reported. I mean, because you're getting calls from other cops saying, you know, you shouldn't have testified that way.
Well, in this particular case, and I know cops circle the wagons. But in this particular case, especially with us examining history and, you know, we're not just examining the actions of Bill Clinton or Harvey Weinstein. We're examining the actions of people around them.
Right.
Who may have, well, you know, I didn't assault anyone. I was just a guy who just waited in the lobby and escorted them up and stood by the door. And it's like, all right, well, you're in trouble too. Now, that's our new world order. And fine. When it's this blatant, when it's this cut and dried, you know what I mean? When you got Freddie Gray and he's in the back of the paddy wagon. And the guy up front,
you realize
can go,
you and I are probably the only guys who still use paddy wagon. Yeah.
The guy up front can go, a cat ran across the street. We had to swerve real quick to avoid it. What are you going to
do?
But in this particular case, if you're a cop and you were there, you want to put as much daylight between this guy with the assault rifle who executed this guy and yourself is humanly possible. That would be my thing. My thing would he's nuts. I told him not to do it. This is insane. I want nothing to do with him.
Especially when you take a look at the video. I mean, looking at the video, I told you before, is the most unbelievable situation to me. I mean, it's like they've got this guy, and I don't want to say it, but they've got him doing a twister moves on the ground, and it's clear he has no weapon. I mean, it's crazy. They're just executed.
So are the other guys that were in the hall sort of standing by?
No. The two of the guys who testified are not. They brought in one guy who is a supervisor who's on the tape screaming commands and basically, no, left, right, right. You know, as opposed to just freeze. How about just freeze? Lay on the ground and freeze. I mean, do you really need to go to training to say that, to tell somebody to freeze?
Well, not only that, as I've felt many times, and I've felt this way about TSA. Like, you know, you used to be 5 years ago, you'd be walking through the Burbank Airport TSA, and you'd be walking through the metal detector with your ball cap on, and they go, take the hat off. Take the hat off. Put it in your hand. You go, oh, okay. Then you're leaving McCarran that night, and you got the hat in your hand, and they're like, put the hat on. And you're like, okay, could you guys get on the same page so you sound somewhat competent?
How about when they tell you, put the shoes in the little the carrier, and then they tell you at JFK, no, don't put your shoes in the carrier. Put them on the roller into the assembly line.
And they're done with the doggy dish, by the way, because now they're yelling, you throw all your shit in your backpack. And we go, could I get the dish? No, no. You put it in your backpack. So as far as the cops go, could we have a sort of, hey, folks, when you're getting pulled over, here's what you do.
Right. Used to be 10 and 2, right?
Right. Just do this. And then, hey, cops, when a guy's laying down on the ground, here's what you do. Because I feel like it's different where every municipality's got a whole different set of dance instructions.
How many times have you been pulled over? I've had this situation at least twice where I keep my hands 10 and 2. And then the guy said, why are you gripping the steering wheel? I said, that's because what I'm taught to do. He says, I want your license and registration. I said, it's in the console. I'm going to reach into the console now. You know, I narrate the whole thing.
Sure.
Why can't you tell somebody to do that too? Just tell them, put your hands out, palms on the ground, and freeze. Don't move.
I don't know what else. I don't know why crawling toward you or doing anything else other than I know there's this thing. It's that thing of it's dumb guys like to use extra words. Yeah. And I've always said, like, when the cops go, okay, what I'm going to need you to do for me right now is to go ahead. Need to do for you to go ahead. You could say license and registration. Right. I wouldn't be confused.
Right.
For whom? Okay. What I'm going to need you to do right now is go ahead and get your license registration for me, okay? And real, I'm going to need you to turn around for me right now, okay? Like, they just use all this stupid build-up language.
Right. Well, it's kind of lawyers do that, too. We have a tendency to say, you know, duly noted. I've never understood. Why is something duly noted?
Well, I have a theory. My theory with cops when they pull you over is they don't want you to chime in at this point. So what they don't want you to do is go, hey, hold on, I was just driving with the flow of traffic. What's the big deal here? Like, I pay taxes in this city, you know? They don't want to hear any of your crap, right? So if they fill up all the extra spaces, like if they walk up and they go, license and registration, please, you can go, officer, I was just going with the flow of traffic. I wasn't even in the left. If they say, all right, what I'm going to need you to do for me right now is go ahead and produce your license registration, okay, right now. They've just talked up this whole space, and you can't jump in.
It's preventative. It's preventative.
It's preventative. It's a funny thing. Like, if you ever hear Donna Brazile interviewed, I'm convinced is one of the dumbest people on the planet.
And she isn't. That's
when
what's
she
so
starts
crazy,
being
though.
When she gets on the ropes. And you hear whoever's interviewing her, Megyn Kelly, Tucker Carlson, where they go, well, why would you take emails that you knew? Tucker. She's not wanting to say anything. She's wanting to filibust. She's wanting to make noise. She's like, when I fart, everyone's all go, I'm just covering for something. She's not saying anything. Like, Tucker will be going, but then you got the emails and you handed the email. Tucker. She should just go, it's the same thing. Like, you're not.
Funny. I watched, must have been Aaron Burnett, the rerun last night, and there were two pastors on, female pastors from Alabama, talking about Roy Moore. And this situation. And the one pastor was absolutely incomprehensible and was doing the same thing. And any question that Aaron Burnett would ask, and she was being very, I thought Aaron Burnett was not being feisty, so to speak, at all. She trying to get an answer as to why this woman was supportive. And all the woman would say is the Washington Post wrote the article. And basically, was, and she kept getting it wrong at first. The pastor would say the Washington Times. And she'd keep correcting her. No, it was the Post. She goes, oh, the Times. You think you know the difference because they're different spots.
Yeah. I have a theory, which is here's an interesting thing. I never really thought about this. But my theory is too many news outlets 24/7 is going to create non-news because we need to keep fill it. We need to fill it.
It's the same thing as the cop having to fill the time because he doesn't want you to speak.
So right. There's too many people who shouldn't be on TV.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll see these political shows, and they'll get some 19-year-old nut job, and she's with a group called Indigenous Lives Matters, and she believes that the UCLA campus should be returned to the Iroquois, and we bring her on now to comment. It's like, this is a crazy 19-year-old chick at a junior college who really has no business being on TV making comments about anything.
It's unbelievable. I'm listening to these. I said, first of all, why? I don't understand. I guess the point of the program was that evangelicals are still supporting Roy Moore. Okay. So we're going to find the craziest pastor we can find
right. And
pair that crazy pastor on and have him just say crazy shit as a false equivalency. This is the part that drives me crazy is that I have to have somebody on both sides of the issue. No, you don't. I don't think you do. Do you? Can't you just have somebody give an opinion?
I believe you can. I don't know. So he's, the whole thing with him is obviously there's such a difference between, when they go, hey, she was a minor. I draw a huge difference between 14 and 17 in the minor department.
Right.
Even though they're both minors. Right. That's a big difference between the ninth grade and a senior in high school.
It's not even close.
It's not even close. So when you start going with the minors, I go, yeah, but what minors are we talking about? And when we hear there are junior minors, that's an issue.
Right. Especially having raised a daughter, as both of us have, you understand what's going on at that age and what's going on a couple years later.
Right. But then also, in his defense, I don't know, every time they're sitting in a car and he put his hand on their thigh and tried to kiss them and she said no and got out of the car, I don't file that under sexual assault.
Right.
Or he tried to assault me.
That was a guy who made a pass.
That's a guy who made a pass in a car with a bench seat back when they used to have benches so you could slide over and make a pass. That's why they invented bench seats.
I think the lesson here, Charlie Rose didn't learn it. Did you see the Charlie Rose stuff?
I just barely, the thing that's funny is Mike August delights in dropping these on me.
Yeah.
That's what his thing is. Like, he jumps in the car with me and he goes, Sylvester Stallone, you see this? And I go, no, I didn't see it. Well, let me tell you. Then he reads the whole story. And then 2 days later, I call him and he goes, Charlie Rose. And then, it's always funny. It's funny because every time I jump on with August, he'll go, did you hear about Charlie Rose? You hear about poor Charlie Rose? And I go, my first impulse, because I'm old school, I go, oh, he's dead? And he'll be like, no, even worse.
He wishes he was dead.
Yeah, I don't know what his M.O. was.
His M.O. apparently was a lot of the M.O. is you apparently leave the room and you come back naked. That's apparently the...
That was his move.
That was his move. That was Louis C.K.'s. That was... There was a guy, he's now dear and departed, lawyer, who had... That was his move. That was his move, yeah.
So what... Now, see, my problem... my problem with sexuality is the same reason why I couldn't have prevented 9/11 from happening. Because my mind goes, who would fly? If you fly an airplane into a building, then you're going to get killed too. Well, it doesn't make sense. No one would do that. Why would you do that if you could parachute out? But I don't think. So when I think about guys' sexuality and somebody says, he got drunk, he asked the stripper for a blowjob. I go, yeah. But when the guy goes, and then, he came in with a potted plant, and he got naked, and he had me sit on a folding chair. I think, what's in it? Why are you doing that? What's in it for you? But there's it's a spectrum.
It is a spectrum. Plus, it's you'll get people who will analyze it in terms of, this has something to do with power. This has something to do with this. This has something to do with that.
No, I get the power part, but you want some power? Yell at an intern.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean?
Then you're right. Then it's supposedly I think you get one shot at that under the harassment statute.
What was – so his he's done this multiple times.
And apparently to interns and people who are –
seven or eight accusers.
Seven or eight accusers. And so the MO –
and by the way, CBS and PBS both fired him within like 18 hours of this. So it doesn't seem like this is just a smoke thing.
And Mark, and as I always say, it's specific and it's replicated. You know what I mean? Like if somebody said – if you asked Matt Fondalier – hey, when we order a dog from Carney's, how's Adam like it? He wouldn't go. He's all over the road. Sometimes he goes plain. Sometimes he goes chili. Sometimes he goes just ketchup. It's like he'd go. He likes a Chicagoan dog.
You straight up had one of these about 2 years ago. We were in Minneapolis or something, and someone went on Reddit and accused you of trying to fuck his wife or something. And it was so absurd that I joined Reddit to refute it because it was just like, what? No. A, I was there. B, even if I wasn't there, that didn't happen. Like, what are you talking about?
But
no.
But even if I did try to bang the guy's wife, it would have to be, you know, Adam came into the room. He was looking for some red wine. He wanted to know who Scotch this was. He wanted to watch some Sports Center first.
Right.
He asked for a blowjob when it was refused. He said he had to go to the bathroom. I heard the shower water running, but I didn't hear any fluctuation in it, so I don't know what he was doing. He came out. His hair wasn't even wet. He asked for some more Scotch. He complained about red turn arrows and why people couldn't figure out recycling.
Mailing schedules.
Then he left. Oh, and on the way out, he saw that there was a pack of coffee, one decaf, one regular. He did 20 minutes on why there needs to be regular and why there needs to be a 50-50 split.
If there was a coffee cup, if he said there was a coffee cup that was there that had not been washed, then I'd say,
right. So the pattern. So the whole thing about Charlie Rose or Bill Cosby or whatever, once the pattern emerges and it's the exact same scenario each time, then that's what happened.
Yeah. The interesting thing, though, what always worries me in these kinds of cases, because this tends to be what used to be my complaint about high-profile criminal cases where everybody comes to a judgment immediately. I always fear that due process is going to go by the wayside. I mean, that's a frightening thing to me.
Right.
I just think that, you know, if you get enough people saying somebody did something, then we don't even have to take a vote on it anymore.
Yeah, no, it's also here's the slippery slope part. Yes, due process, no matter what. And if Al Franken tried to slip someone the tongue backstage at a USO show, that is not Harvey Weinstein, and it's not Bill Clinton. It's not any of these guys. It's a guy who's been married to a shrew for 26 years, is on the road. He thinks he's in international waters, and he's gonna give it a shot.
Right.
And when it gets turned down, he basically moves on.
Like right.
That's what that is. I've always said that's not being a bad dude. That's being a dude. Harvey Weinstein's being a bad dude. Kevin Spacey, that's being a bad dude. Franken's being a dude.
Yeah.
That's what dudes do. We pretend we live in a world where we'd love everyone to be married to a eunuch.
Uh-huh.
Who just what'd he do? He went on the road. He was surrounded by Rockettes. He sat on his hands the entire time.
Right. He said, yeah, let's go watch football.
Yeah. He never even opened his eyes. He went, worse. He wanted to watch soccer.
Hold on. I've got, you know what? Today's a good day. I finally, Gary got me my Simply Safe.
Nice. I got one too.
Yeah. How'd you get yours?
I procured it with a credit card.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's the story you're sticking with?
That's what we're going to go with.
Okay. Simply Safe, Black Friday sale. Holidays can be crazy. Make sure your home and family are protected through all of it. Simply Safe Home Security is they're having a massive Black Friday sale. $200 off their special holiday security system. Effortless, delivered right to your door. Mine was delivered right to me, right to my seat. And free shipping, set it up in under an hour. Your home is completely protected around the clock, and there's no long-term contract or hidden fees. Go get $200 off at simplysafe.com/Adam3. simplysafe.com/Adam3. Why Adam3?
I don't know.
That's because we have multiple properties, and they want to know that you love Reasonable Doubt. So make sure you type in the letters T-H-R-E-E, Adam 3, all spelled out. And Mark, you are going to be delighted when you go home to set yours up because it is a breeze.
Ugh, I love it. Lee Systems will fly off the shelves. Offer ends soon. That's simplysafe.com/Adam, T-H-R-E-E.
So what's going on in Kaepernick world?
So the every day that goes by, I think it's become now beyond obvious that there's a, you know, people say collusion. I always say conspiracy. The collective bargaining agreement uses the term collusion. And it's apparent to me, and I think to anybody else who's an athlete or who plays in the NFL, that there are not 20 quarterbacks who are better than him in the NFL. So we're going to – it's obvious, I think, at this point with – how many weeks left in the season?
Five, I guess. We're week 11 last week, or this week coming up a week 11. The bye always screws me up. We never had a bye in the past.
Think this week we're – as you speak, I think we're into week 12 tomorrow.
That's what I think, too. I don't know that he gets signed anymore because most of these teams have made it clear that they'd rather lose than kind of violate this collusive agreement.
What do we find on your end, though? I mean, I'm a kind of a broken record here, and it's like even though you're right, we know there are teams that could use Cap's arm. That's just not that's speculation, even though it's based on a bunch of stuff, even stats. You still can't say this is what is happening. I guarantee it. We still need that email, that smoking gun.
I think you could get the agreement says express or implied. I think we've already I think we've got a slam dunk when it comes to the implied. Obviously, I want the express, so we're in the midst of doing the discovery process right now. So cell phones and computers and emails are being collected as we speak to be turned over for us to go through.
Cell phones. Now, what do you get from cell phones? You can obviously get when calls were made and at what time and to whom.
Right. You can also get texts.
Oh, text.
Yeah.
Right.
You can also get text.
What would you say if you had a client in this day and age? Should one
have a burner phone?
Phone. I was going to say, like, smoke signal probably be the safest way to go.
They've now gotten to the point where they can actually wiretap or intercept the burner phones. And so they do that, especially when they think somebody's bought it recently to evade. So that doesn't even work. In fact, there's I was talking with a guy over the weekend, an electronics expert, who says that even when you've wiped the phone or think you've wiped the phone, you haven't. They now have techniques where they can draw that stuff up from the unallocated space.
What's going on in terms of Russia and Trump and Hillary and all the stuff? Are we just going to – I have this feeling that politicians are sort of like companies with more than 1,000 employees. If you start sniffing around, you're just going to find out that they were up to something at some point because it's just sort of the nature of the beast, right?
Well, and it's – the part of it, I think, is the irony of Trump saying he wanted to drain the swamp is that the swamp is everywhere. I mean, there. If you take a look today politically, I mean, you've got Al Franken, now Conyers, the senior Democratic congressman. He's apparently been using public funds to settle cases or to fly women in, things of that nature. You now have calling on the Attorney General Jeff Sessions to investigate the Clinton Uranium One deal. And so you've got, I believe, obviously, that there must be something going on in the Russian probe, because I think the more that Trump starts to deflect from that and engage with UCLA football players' dads or basketball players' dads, we've gotten to a point where people just figure, I mean, it's kind of a low threshold at this point. I mean, Why did we spend hours yesterday with the President of the United States dueling it out with LeVar Ball? Did you see the CBS Sports interview or the interview afterwards?
Yes.
I mean, it was almost incomprehensible.
Well, I mean, you have the craziest white man on the planet going up against the craziest black man on the planet in like a battle royale to see who's more narcissistic and who's more insane and whose skin is thinner or who wants more attention or who could get more Twitter followers.
I mean, all of it is in when you lay that against the what's happening with the harassment allegations. I mean, it's every day, every single day.
Well, I wonder, you know, I've always just sort of said, look, all of this information and all, you know, your smartphone having more computing power than the Gemini 1 or the Viking Explorer or whatever it is, you know, 250 times as much stuff. This is all just a big experiment. We don't know how we're going to react. We don't know what it's going to do to our pretty we're wired like British sports cars from the 60s. You know, we can't be left out in the rain that much. This is kind of an experiment. I mean, there's a lot of here's my take. Guys like ourselves, and I know this sounds pretty self-serving, but. Guys like me and guys like you, I played high school football and popcorn football, and then I did some construction, and then I slept on a futon, and then I got into cars. You're going to have a hard time corrupting me with the information that's going on the internet because I'm not that engaged.
Right.
I'm literally turning a wrench during the course of the day. I'm not staring at my phone. And you're set in your ways, let's just say that way. The cement in your brain is dried, and I can't get a stick and put my initials in it because it's dried. Now, you take a guy who's wired like a chick, like Dr. Drew.
Right.
And he's sitting there staring at his phone all day, and he's fretting, and he's wringing his hands, and he's saying, can you believe what they said about me on teenmom.com or whatever? And I'm going, what are you even doing with your phone? And he goes, I'm a doctor. I need my phone. I said, you're reading tweets about yourself from teenmom.com. I have to have this phone. I put it in the other room. I don't have my phone. It's not with me. I'm not married to it. I'm fine with it. I shut it off when I get home. And I think we'll be fine, but there's a whole bunch of Dr. Drews and then a whole bunch of young people and a whole bunch of Americans. This is an experiment. And we don't know how they're going to react, but we're starting to get some of the early polling, and it's not good.
And I was going to say the same thing. I don't think that any of this is positive for discourse for anybody. The whole thing is troubling on a lot of different levels. I mean, I already mentioned the due process level. There, you know, when people talk, this also is related to the conversation that Zuckerberg and Elon Musk have had back and forth about artificial intelligence and whether artificial intelligence is a threat. And the more I see what's going on in the world, I think it is. I think artificial intelligence is a real, real threat.
Well, it's turning to me like it feels like one of those gang initiations where we just pick out one new guy and everyone just starts throwing punches at him in the backyard in Pacoima. And then when that guy's done, we grab another new guy and you tell him, you get in the fetal position. Well, I'll just kick you for a while and then you'll be initiated. But everyone's got to get initiated into the gang.
Yeah.
And it's also like we can't move our heads fast enough to figure out who is next. And who's getting it next?
I'm trying to think somebody, and I wish I had clipped it. I usually fire these things over to Gary. Somebody was outed, and it was by bots. The bots did it. And it turned out when they did the investigation, which took a little bit of time, that sure enough, it was just a plant. So, you know, that's normally, I think, what the direction you're headed. It's funny how this has skipped from the criminal defense arena, because to some degree, this is a faster moving version of the Duke LaCrosse cases. And so at some point, and that's why I was saying they generally presume defendants in high-profile cases guilty until proven innocent. And we have the same phenomena going on now, but now it's not just limited to criminal defense. It's kind
Well, also, it's not limited to a statute. I mean, it might be a legal statute of limitations, but not in the minds and hearts of Americans. Like, hey, do you hear what George Takei did in 1981?
Yeah.
I mean, it's try to get another gay guy back to his apartment in Toluca Lake? Yes, he did. Really? Look, we're going back to 1981?
Yeah, which I can barely remember.
We're just going to keep going and going? Hey, did you hear what this guy did to Cleopatra? Dropped a digit on her. Like, what? If there is no time.
Right. There is no time. Because we're talking 70s, we're talking 80s. That picture that I saw of Al Franken with, did you see the one of her and him and Arianna Huffington where he was cupping her breast? Was that photoshopped or is that real?
I didn't know. Well, first off, this thing, well, so here's the bigger problem. We cannot lump George Bush Sr. in with Harvey Weinstein. George
correct. Did
a move that is as old as time, which is sort of horny old grandpa move. You sit in a wheelchair, you give the honk on the woman's butt cheek, and you make your joke about the magician. Oh,
it appears it is real, but it also appears she's in on it and laughing, so I don't know.
Right. But she can also say she was terrified, felt threatened.
Sure. And you search for this, it comes up on 15 news sites.
Look, it's all going to mean nothing because everybody will be an abuser and right. Everyone will be sexually addicted and everyone will be accused of sexual assault. And it's just and also it's a crazy conflation thing that goes on where like someone will say to Hillary Clinton, you know, well, what about your husband? And what do you say to the accusers now? And he'll like, well, we have a president who brags about sexually assaulting women. And it's like, that's not what he was doing. He's making an example with an extreme. Basically, he's saying, I'm so popular, I could walk up to a guy in Carnegie Deli and put my dick in his coffee and he wouldn't even say anything. But that doesn't mean I go to Carnegie Deli and I put my dick in people's coffees. That's saying I could do this because that's how great I am. And you can think that's a boastful or grotesque statement, but he's not bragging about assaulting people.
Right.
He's boasting about himself. Right. And I don't even know. I just figure, I assume they know that, but it doesn't matter. Nobody ever follows up. We just keep moving.
I don't know. Conflation is probably the best word for what's going on because everything is, as you said, everyone falls in the continuum. I mean, you can't be on this without being either a person who gropes or a person who was groped or this or that, and it's become.
But also, isn't it like when you go back to adolescence, and you say to your kid, you say to a 9-year-old, hey, I came home the other day, the front door was unlocked, and you've done it a few times. You come in the front door, you got to lock that deadbolt behind yourself. And what flies out of their mouth is, I came home once and the door was unlocked and you left it unlocked. Like that's what 9-year-olds do. They don't say, I understand, it's not going to happen again. Yeah. If it does, you can take a quarter out of my piggy bank. They just go right back. They just handball it right to your forehead, and they just go, what? No, you did. Well, now we have 65-year-old adults doing that. They just go right smack there. Right back.
Right, right.
I don't get, but first off, it doesn't mean you didn't unlock the door and leave it unlocked. It just means now we're living in a house filled with retarded people who can't lock the door. I don't know why that helps your lot in life.
Well, the lesson is that if you deny, you have a lot more shelf life than if you accept. I mean, that's basically kind of what's been the only lesson I can gain out of this.
What do you make of getting back to Donna Brazile? She strikes me as sort of insane.
I don't understand what's happened because I've known her. I've seen her are extremely articulate. But you and I have talked about, and I wish I could remember. Remember that one interview that we talked about months ago? That she did, which it was like neither of us could understand why
she did.
Well,
she did one with Megyn Kelly,
yes,
where
that was
I have this thought, which may be racist, but I'm willing to convey it because I'm a hero. I feel like the heavyset women of color can kind of fall back into this mode where they just are going, now, Megyn, I'm a Christian, and my grandmother taught me a lot. Now, she didn't have an education, but she taught me, and you can kind of filibust falling back.
Well, maybe it's racist when I say this. I always think that's the old white guy. I mean, the old white guy is the...
Well, I'm sure there's a version for everything, but Donna Brazile slides back into the mama didn't raise no fool now thing, and it kind of shuts the conversation down because she no longer... will have to answer the question. She explains about her grandpappy and back in the day, and she slides it, her
I'm
voice will start changing, and she'll start sliding into this Southern character from the turn of the century, and it's a way to avoid engagement. Like you can't.
Well,
you
she
won't
definitely
answer the question.
The Megyn Kelly interview, as I remember, wasn't that on the heels of the revelation about the questions at the debate?
Well. Yes, and then later on, more recently, so now she has a book to promote,
right.
And she's out there, and I'm thinking, is she still nuts, or how's this going to work? And she went on Tucker Carlson, and she said, Tucker's like, but you gave the debate questions in advance to Hillary, and she's like, I had to protect them. I wanted to prepare them. It's like, yes, that's what we're saying. You know, you're not allowed to prepare and protect. That's why it's a
debate.
It's a debate.
It's right.
Okay. I'm a mom.
It's not
and
an open
my kids
book
got
test.
A got a yeah, my kids got an algebra test coming up, but I just want to go there and give them a nice cheat sheet so they have the answers, in advance, so they get a better grade. Oh, okay. Yes, that's what cheating is. But then she said, "Hey, I did the same. I'd do the same for Bernie or whoever. I can't think of else, but she was like, I prepared all of them. Like, hold on. This is not a defense of what your actions, what you're being accused
of.
And
I didn't see. I wish I'd seen this interview.
You got to find that. You'll find it.
Where
it was a crazy one with Tucker Carlson where she explained what she was doing, and then she explained that she also did it for everyone else, so she was even-handed, in other words, which just – dug it in deeper. I just assume she's got a book to sell.
I was going to say the one that took off on the book to sell was, I thought, the comment about she was going to replace Hillary on the ticket.
Right.
And I forget the, it might have been after the fainting spell, but I don't know that anybody ever plumbed into whether or not there was the power to do that. I don't know that one person who's the head of the DNC or the acting head of the DNC post Debbie Wasserman.
Schultz. Yeah. Schultz. I also wonder psychologically, if you dye your hair purple, do people kind of leave you alone? Like, you just get to say what you want to say, and nobody ever goes, wait a minute, what are you talking about? You can't say that. That makes no sense. That's not coherent. You're not answering my question. I just wonder if a little purple hair just sort of gets you left alone on the follow-up questions.
You know, having gray, I don't know why people are so against gray hair, this guy who has some gray hair left or a couple of strands.
Yeah, you look distinguished.
Yeah, that's what I think, right? I don't know why I would want to color at this point. I mean, I guess the old expression blue hair, comes from people who...
Yes.
Right?
Old people dye their hair. There's an interesting thing, which is, if I see a guy with full head of gray hair, I just go, that guy's comfortable in the skin. And he's not trying to convince me of anything through follicles. He's trying to convince me through things versus degrees on the, with degrees on the
right.
wall or accomplishments or the car he's driving or whatever it is.
And when the guy's got, when he's 60 years old and it's jet black, I mean, it reminds me of Saddam Hussein or something, you know?
Yes.
They're doing the same with the mustache. I don't get it.
I always feel that's the way I feel about Paul McCartney. Like, you were in the Beatles. Like, you know, you had hit records in the 60s.
Right.
Can you let a little gray. Just around the temples? Can you let just a little gray creep in?
It's not a bad look because I
think... Wait, you don't think you're going to get your dick sucked, Paul? Like, you're Paul McCartney. I'd say you're grandfathered into the blowjob lounge.
And I think when you dye your hair at that age for a male, that you tend to look more female. You know, there's a quality
something,
about it.
Something looks wrong. All right, Gary will find that. I'll tell. Yeah? No?
I believe if you do a little, give someone a little love there, we'll have it ready when you're done.
All right. I'll talk about Nightfall. History's new scripted drama. It's a new series. Nightfall premieres Wednesday, December 6th at 10 p.m. Set in medieval France, tangled in politics and conflict. These shows look so good now. Like, it used to be
I had no interest in this stuff.
Well, if it was like a TV movie, it's like, all right, well, they didn't have the budget for this or that and the other, and it's going to look like it didn't have a budget. No, man. Tangled in politics, conflict. Courageous Templar Knight will lead his order of warrior monks on a life-or-death mission to find the lost Holy Grail. Tom Cullen from the series Downton Abbey leads the cast, taking viewers deep inside the most powerful and mysterious military order of the Middle Ages. And this show looks good. I just went and watched a trailer with
I was just going to ask, did you watch it?
I watched the trailer in Gary's office over there, and it looks... first off, they shoot it in England, but they just have castles, so no one ever goes, oh, that's a new castle. That one's got stucco on it and aluminum windows. Like, they're all... Castle. We have medieval times over here. They have
They actually have it.
Yeah. He who controls the Grail holds the power. It's a Nightfall. It's a new series. December 6th, Wednesday on History. 10 o'clock. Yes. Gary, you got it?
Yes, we do. We'll throw it up for you right here.
On the Tucker here.
Same Donna that they've always known.
Okay,
feisty, I'm gusty.
Well, I've noticed that.
And as you
so
well
they've
know,
all right, pause it
you.
For a second. All right. I'm feisty, I'm gusty, I'm the same. You see what I'm talking about? They fall back into the crazy black woman from the
what
turn of the
century. What does gusty mean?
I don't know. This is her basically going, I can't really defend my point, so I'm going to tell you grandma didn't raise no fool, which doesn't really defend your point. Like, you accuse me of arson, Mark Garagus. Go ahead.
Did you burn the house down?
Oh, grandma didn't raise no fool. Oh, I'm gusty. I'm feisty. I'm feisty and gusty and grandma didn't raise no fool. And it's like, all right, but I still want to know.
I thought these two were old friends, if you want to know the truth.
From their days
of CNN.
I don't think they have a beef with each other. She's just not answering the question.
From what we've watched. You know, this is a 21-minute interview, something like that. From what I've watched canning through to find this clip, it does not appear to be acrimonious. Apart from being on different sides of the political fence, they seem very cordial.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure that they're old friends.
All right, we'll play it. Sorry, just rewind 20 seconds. I want to hear her being feisty and gusty.
I don't know that I would want to describe myself as gusty. Would you want to describe
No, it's
yourself?
either you fart a lot or you're a blowhard. Here we go.
They know that I stand behind them. They're up at Harvard. They're at Georgetown. And I want them to know that I am still the same Donna that they've always known.
Okay,
I'm feisty. I'm gusty.
Well, I've noticed that.
And as you
so they've come after you. They've come after you and said, look, it's a little much for you to criticize the DNC for colluding with the Hillary campaign when you conceded that you leaked questions to the Hillary campaign during a CNN town hall, before a CNN town hall. My question when I'm reading this is, did no one at CNN know that happened? Did they really learn for the first time when they read your book? How could they have not have known that?
Well, Tucker, I surely hope everyone will now go out and buy the book. It's called Hacks, the Inside Story.
There was a question there. Did nobody at CNN know that you did that? You apparently got them from...
Oh, no, Tucker, you cannot put words in my mouth.
I'm just asking.
I got on some lipstick from Fox, but that has not forced me to not stand my ground. I said in the book...
No, but it's not your you're gone.
Hold
I'm
on.
Asking about CNN.
You see what I'm talking about? You sound like an incoherent woman from the South who has a second grade education, who just got a, we just like pulled you off a raft in the Mississippi and tried to interview you. No, not talking now. Don't you grab anybody? It's like, I think it's an act. I really do think it's an act.
She is deflecting him like nothing I could. I mean, I can't even imagine. The way, you know what the answer would be in a courtroom? Mm. The courtroom would objection, non-responsive.
Right.
Yeah.
They were rambling. Okay. But she doesn't seem coherent to me, but I don't think she's incoherent. I think she doesn't feel like answering the question, so she talks about grandma and being gusty and blusty. But keep playing it. She'll hopefully say what we're talking about.
And you haven't gone on their air. They're mad at you, obviously.
No,
but did they know that you leaked these questions? Really simple question.
You know, Tucker, I said last year.
Sounds like they did.
No, Tucker, don't try to put words in my mouth. I said last year that CNN never provided us with any questions. CNN never gave us anything in advance. But what I did say, and what I've said in the future, in the past, and what I said in this book, is that I, as an officer of the DNC, and I know WikiLeaks gave everybody, you know, certain questions and certain emails, but as an officer in the DNC, I sought to expand the number of debates. And I wanted to make sure that we had diverse voices and we covered issues that had not been discussed in previous debates. And so, what I did, give me one more second, and I know it's your show.
Anything.
I'm not trying to take over. But what I saw, you don't, Tucker, I know you too well. What I sought to do, Tucker, was to ensure that we had these issues on the table, and I made sure that our candidates, I didn't want them blindsided. That's what I admitted to. That's what I, look, what WikiLeaks put
that's,
out.
That's the greatest spin I've ever heard.
It's,
I didn't want them blindsided.
Hey.
That's so good. You should do this for a living. That's all. That is hilarious. Let me ask you a human, ask you a personal question.
Hold on. WikiLeaks sought to divide us. These were actual measures where you got to see the things I gave to you. You never got a chance to see the things I gave to Bernie.
The things I gave to Bernie, you didn't get a chance. Oh,
that's
yeah.
Why I don't know that.
Wait, we'll play you the end of that just because it does get to part where she goes, I gave it to everybody.
Oh, Martin O'Malley.
Well, okay.
And let me just
you know what?
Make
I'm
it
totally
quick.
Happy. You bring those and I'll put them on the show anytime. You in the book, though, I just want
to
ask you this is a sincere personal question.
Got to go back to when she's providing for Bernie, right?
We started it from right there. She just says, and Martin O'Malley, and then she keeps rolling. But we can play it back a little bit. We'll roll it back
Bernie.
A second.
We want to hear what she said, right?
WikiLeaks sought to divide us. These were active measures where you got to see the things I gave to Hillary.
Right.
You never got a chance to see the things I gave to Bernie or Martin O'Malley.
Well, okay.
And let me just
you know
cut
what?
It.
I'm totally
right.
happy.
So she gave stuff to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's her defense?
Like I said, sometimes it's best not to put the client on the stand. You know, see, the hardest. One of my father's favorite expressions. It's a rare case that gets better for the defense after the prosecution rests.
A good note to go out on. We'll have the pre-cruise Corolla drinks event that is coming up this Wednesday, the 29th, Churchill's Pub in Miami, 8:00. Loxie's going to be playing. Dawson's going to be playing. All the lackeys are going to be there. Come on out and say hi. Corolla Drinks, we got a special run on some new Cabernet and Chardonnay, and you can check it out. Just go to Corolla Drinks, say hi to Lynette over there, and get some merch. Oh, Dude Maintain, the limited edition shirt. That's ends December 7th, so you can go to crowdmade.com/Adam. And Mark, what do you got?
Got Tenney, downtown L.A. We've got a Thanksgiving special still running today and tomorrow. Prova Pizza in Grand Central Station. Try some of the pumpkin pizza if you want a little change of pace. The San Clemente Casa Tropicana, which I think Gary would attest to, is quite the little place.
Maybe my favorite place ever. I love that joint.
It's right across from the San Clemente Pier. So get out there.
So until next time, Adam Kroll for Mark Garagus saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.